podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Over the past few weeks, I've struggled with this message this morning. And there's a lot of reasons that go with that. One being, I am a father, so I have to preach it to myself first. Which is almost the case with any sermon. You got to kind of preach it to yourself and be convicted about a few of them. But the second being, godly fathers, this idea, when it was laid on my heart, the question was, God, is this sermon worthy? And so after praying about it a lot, talking to some other minister friends who are in ministry, really felt like, okay, this is a sermon, and started to put it together and said, all right, God, if this is what I need to preach, I'm going to need a confirmation because it doesn't come across to me as a sermon, Lord. And so obviously we're diving into it this morning. So God has given me a few confirmations about this, and I want to share it with you. But here's what I want to do before we start. Maybe you're like, wow, godly fathers. Okay, I'm a mother. This doesn't apply to me. I'm going to tune them out. Please don't. If you're a mother, this should be what your husband looks like. And you should hold him accountable to these standards. Maybe you're a teenager or you're not married yet, and you're like, well, this ain't me. First off, this is what your dad should look like, and you should hold him accountable to it. Secondly, ladies, this is what your future husband should look like. And these are characteristics and traits that you should look for in a man. And maybe you're married and you're a guy, but you don't have kids. Hey, this is something to try and be. This is kind of a goal for you to reach for. And so this morning, as we jump in, I want you to understand that as we prepare and pray about this, there's one thing I never want to do when I stand in front of you, and that's waste your time. I don't want to waste your time with meaningless stuff or an empty sermon. I want to share with you hopefully something that's going to reach your heart, touch your heart, challenge you, and maybe change you. And so our verse this morning is Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 4. And fun story about this verse. This is the Bible I was given when I graduated college. So I like to call this my $46,000 Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. Is that right? Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I can't find it. That's the one missing in my Bible. So, like, I want to prove that to you. We go from, that's Philippians, no wonder. Okay, I'm telling you, that's how my Bible was given to me. $46,000, missing a page. So it's on the screen for us this morning, but I do have the first part of it. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. God, thank you that your word is true, 100% true. Not parts of it, not some of it, but in its entirety, it is true. And God, thank you that it is applicable to our lives. God, as fathers this morning, God, will you soften our hearts? Will you open our ears? Will you challenge us, God? Will you make us the godly fathers that you've called us to be? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I love acronyms. I think they're easy to remember. It's how I did a lot of stuff in high school. And so I want to share with you an acronym to NIM today. It also hurts my speaking. But if you look at your notes, obviously the acronym is FATHER. And so I want to share with you six attributes of a godly father. And the first one is with the F, and it's faithful. Godly fathers are faithful. Good fathers are faithful people. They're faithful to God, and because of this, they trust him with their whole heart, soul, and mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, good fathers are faithful people, and they trust the Lord completely. They believe in God's promises, and they know that God will preserve their family, and that our God, our good Father in heaven, will provide for their family's needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The Bible gives us several examples of godly fathers. And for time's sake, I just want to focus on one. And it's one that I find very important, and that's Joseph. Joseph, the father of Jesus. And if you look at the story, Joseph is engaged to the Virgin Mary. They're going to get married. They've saved themselves for marriage. And then all of a sudden, he finds out that Mary is pregnant. And through his faithfulness and through the angel saying, hey, this is the Messiah, through his faith in the Lord, he remains with Mary. He raises Jesus as his own. He's also faithful when he moves his family to Egypt after a dream that warns him that his family's in danger. I just want to put this in context of today. So you are engaged to be married to the love of your life, and you've both saved yourself for marriage, and she comes to you and says, hey, I'm pregnant. Yeah, that's where the story ends for most of us, because we cut ties. It can happen. I'm sorry. It's over. You cheated on me. Bye-bye. I'm going to find the next person. That would be where the story ends. But Joseph says, okay, this is the Son of God, the Messiah, and I'm going to raise him as my own. It's a powerful illustration of what a faithful man looks like. Someone who trusts in God 100%. In youth group, from time to time, we'll do the trust fall, and we have a good time with that. No one's gotten hurt yet, to my knowledge. And everyone knows what the trust fall is. You put someone in front of you, say, all right, trust me, and fall back. They fall backwards. One of the most powerful illustrations we've done did not go as planned. We had a young girl do the trust fall. No problem. She closed her eyes. We asked her to close her eyes. I walked to the back of the room and said, all right, if you trust me, fall. And no warning, no cue, no sending her up. She just fell backwards. And obviously, we had set up another leader to catch her. But that is true. I mean, faithfulness, trusting in God 100%. There's a powerful illustration that the skits guys do where they do the trust fall just like that. And so you got the guy behind you, and then he says, all right, now fall forward. And you're able to see that there's nothing there. And he says, fall forward. And so the question for you dads, if you were in that situation and God said, fall forward, would you? Would you? Because God has called you to be the leaders of your home. And there are times where he's going to challenge you to step out in faith. There are times he's going to ask you to do things that make no sense to you. But I remind you that there are always eyes watching you. The second thing for godly fathers is that they are accountable. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. The Word of God speaks on many accounts about the importance of accountability, of being accountable to each other. Luke 17:3 says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. A good father is accountable. And this is a toughie in our society today because I think our culture has related accountability to weakness. As men, and the song really said it, thank you, Carly, we are reluctant to share our feelings. We're reluctant to show emotion. We're reluctant to show weakness or fear. Because after all, we are the leaders and we've been called to lead. And so accountability is looked at as a weakness. We are the men of the house. And so therefore, You know, we got to hold it together and we got to be strong. Everything's got to be good. Everything's got to look good. Or at least from the outside looking in, because we all know what our homes look like when we're home. But the Word of God tells us that it is so important. And this morning I share with you that one of the attributes of a godly father is that they are held accountable. Think about it. You all have jobs. You all work a job. You've got this person who kind of looks over you or tells you what to do. You might call him boss. They are making sure that you do what you've been hired to do. They are making sure that the tasks that have been placed before you get done. They are making sure that you represent the company or association in the best light that reflects who they are. By definition, they are holding you accountable to your job. We agree? Good. Who's holding you accountable to your job as father? Who is it that holds you accountable to being a good dad? Who is it that says, hey, man, you're messing up. Hey, I don't know if I would have done that. Who is it that is close enough to you that can say, hey, how about you not work today and go to your child's whatever? Is there someone in your life who does that for you? Mine is my father-in-law. He's wonderful at it, and we have a wonderful relationship. But he will keep me grounded in the fact that my family comes first. They're only second to God. And so I ask you this morning, who holds you accountable? Who makes sure that you're being the godly father that you've been called to be? The third point for you this morning is with the T, and it is godly fathers, good fathers are teachers. And they prepare their children to enter adulthood and to face this tough world that is right outside of these walls this morning. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And our verse this morning, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We must teach our children how to survive with skills in this world that'll make them proper, you know, workers in society. We must teach them skills that are going to allow them to grow up and move out of our homes and establish their own family. But this also means that we must train them in the ways that they should go. So as fathers, it's our job to teach them what the Bible says. This game we played this morning, you never know how it's going to go. We did not prepare anyone for that. I did tap a few people on the shoulder and say, hey, we might play a game if you want to play. I think that's the only reason Steve came forward. Thank you. But you had the youngest contestant. Say, I don't know my dad's favorite Bible verse. Dad throws up the verse, and he says, well, I know what that says. That is training your child in the right way. Right on the spot, I don't know the Bible verse. John 3:16 quotes it. That is someone who has shared the Word of God with their child. They're bringing them up in the right way. Teach them right and wrong. Teach them right and wrong. And so right there, that means, yes, we must punish our children when they do wrong. But we must not do it in anger, but rather in love, in an effort to teach them to do better. I'm going to share you, I can remember being a child, and I'm glad none of my family comes to this church. I was a terrible child, and my parents will say amen on that one. And I broke a lot of rules, and I talked back, and I was also a pyromaniac, and so I liked playing with fire inside the house. Yeah, I did. And you know, the word is what, your kid will be just like you, so pray for us. But I was a terrible kid. And I would make mistakes, and I would talk back, and my parents believed in the power of spanking. And I can remember like it was yesterday. I did something wrong, and my dad would say, go to your room. I'll be up in a minute. And that's when you knew, you know, put on a few layers of shorts, because you were going to get whooped. And let me tell you, I had a bunch of basketball shorts. Anyway, And he would come up and he would sit down and you would, you know, you'd lay across his lap, and whether it was his hand or it was a belt or it was a wooden spoon, we didn't have, what do you call it, switches? We didn't have that, but that seems very vicious. Anyway, we didn't have those in Puerto Rico. And I can remember, you know, getting ready to get spanked and not really feeling sorry or repentant of it. But I can remember my dad saying, "I do this because I love you." And as a 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old, okay, yeah, right, Dad, if you love me, don't do this. Really? And then I can remember the follow-up. "Daniel, this hurts me more than it hurts you." No, it doesn't. I'm getting whooped. "Really, Dad?" Now, as a father who has a 2.5-year-old whose favorite word is no, and having to spank her, or as Ashley says, tap her, because I don't spank, I get it. It hurts me more than it hurts her to spank my child. And I only do it because I love her, and I want her to understand that you don't say no to Daddy all the time. Sometimes, it, you know. But you don't say no to Dad. You don't say no to Mom. You know, you don't do wrong. And so I'm doing this because I love you, and the tears and the crying, and you're like, ah. But a good father is a teacher. And sometimes teaching is hard. And sometimes it hurts as parents. And sometimes as parents, I'm sure my parents thought it, this is not getting through to them because I continued to make mistakes and do wrong. But as the song said, now I find myself doing and thinking and sounding like my father. So obviously it did get through. And it's only because of the discipline that was given to me that I learned responsibility and became the adult that stands before you. So we go back to that story. My father would always go to your room. "I'll be up in a minute." And I just thought, well, that's just time for me to put on shorts and prepare. My father wanted to make sure he wasn't doing anything in anger, but rather in love. And it made no sense. I mean, literally, until just 6 weeks ago we started preparing this, I thought my dad literally was giving me time to put on extra shorts because he knew how much it hurt. But it dawned on me. My dad wanted to make sure nothing was done out of anger, but out of love. Think about that. When's the last time you were angry? For some of us, it was this week. Maybe this morning when your kids wouldn't get in the car to go to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, amen. Woo! Glad you're here, Mitchell. We say some things that we don't mean when we're angry. And when we just spit it out, as soon as we spit it out, I wish I could take that back. And so as a parent, you've got eyes that are watching you. And so when we just jump right off and say things or cuss someone out or say really mean, hurtful things, we've got ears that are listening to that. Whereas if we will pull ourselves back, take some time to think about it, and then speak. Never knew it, but it makes perfect sense. Dad took 5-10 minutes before he came up to make sure that he wasn't hitting me, spanking me out of anger, but rather out of love. 4, good fathers, godly fathers are the head of the household. Good fathers will accept this role as the spiritual head of the household, and they will set the tone for family worship. Good fathers know God's word. They have an active prayer life. They attend church regularly with their families, and they obey God's commandments. But I don't have to tell you that this morning because you're here. After all, it's Father's Day. It's your day. You could have stayed home and slept all day. You could have stayed home and had a good breakfast and watched FIFA World Cup soccer. Wait, you don't watch that. I could have stayed home and watched World Cup soccer. You could have stayed home and just relaxed or mowed the lawn or, you know, binged watch something on Netflix. You could have just stayed home with your family and had a good day with your family. but instead, you woke up. For some of you, you got your families up. Some of you had to fight to get them here. Some of you, they wanted to be here. Some of you, your kids are the ones who brought you here. And you're here this morning, worshiping in the house of the Lord. So you get the importance of being the head of the household, spiritually speaking. But you also got to be the head of the household, physically speaking. As men, it's our job to provide for our families, to bring home the bacon, to work hard, to teach our children that as a father, you work hard to provide for your family. But emotionally, you have to be the head of the household. When your kids are having a hard day, when your wife comes home and is just crying and angry and just, you've got to be the emotional head of the household that turns it back to the Word of God, which my wife hates because I get the, well, that's just your youth minister answer. And I'm like, no, this is what the Word says. And so you have to be the head of the household. You have to be the one that's physically, emotionally, spiritually leads your home. You set the tone. You set the tone. God has called you to be the head of the household. E is example. Good fathers are positive examples. Good fathers are good examples. Good fathers are godly examples. Good impressions are important. And good fathers are positive role models to their families. See, children will imitate what you do and what you say. That's really easy for me to say because I've got a two-year-old who literally will do everything we do and will literally spit back what you say. You know, I gotta go pee. You know? I'm just being honest with you. I've got a two-year-old that watches everything I do and everything I say, and if I say something that sounds funny to her, she's going to repeat it, and sometimes that gets both her and I in trouble with Mom. But, you know, so as fathers, we have to be the example. We have to be the example for our children. We have to be the example for our spouse. As the home spiritual leader, good fathers will take an active role in their child's spiritual development. The importance of a father's role cannot be underestimated, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Jesus showed us many things when he walked on this earth. And we've been called to be Christ-like in all that we do. And so if we are the examples, then we should be like Christ. One of the biggest things that stands out to me about Jesus is he loved people. He loved people. It didn't matter if they were the nicest, the church-going, or, you know, the harlot, or the beggars, or the tax collectors. It didn't matter if they were old or if they were children. He loved people. When is the last time you've shown love to a stranger and your kid or your child or your young adult saw that? When is the last time you stopped what you were doing to show someone the love of Christ and your child saw that? Because once again, you've got two little eyes and two little ears for each kid that are listening and watching you. And if you're the example, then they take from what you do. 1 Corinthians, follow my examples as I follow the example of Christ. Are you doing what Christ would do? Are you a good, positive example, role model for your children? If we are the example, then my prayer this morning is that our children, my children, will see me as a person who shows love unconditionally to everyone. And so that's the toe stepper for me as we write this, because it's difficult. to love everybody, especially when they do you wrong. You know, especially when they're mean to you or mean to your kid. But we must be the example. And finally, when it comes to Father, one of the most important for me is reliable. Good fathers are reliable, they're responsible, and they are consistent. They work hard to bring home the bacon and to provide for their family's needs. But they're also helpful in a time of crisis. I grew up as a PK. My dad was the pastor of one of the bigger churches on the island of Puerto Rico. Three services every Sunday morning and one on Sunday night. He had four kids, my two older sisters, myself, and my younger sister. Let me tell you, my father never missed a soccer game. Even the 2 years that I rode the bench, never missed a soccer game. Whether I wanted him to or not, never missed a soccer game. And the first time that I got off the bench and got to play, because we were winning a lot to a little, screamed like a little schoolgirl. And if you've met my father, you can imagine what that sounds like. Embarrassed the snot out of me. Like, literally. Got on the bus, rode back to school. 21 kids on the team. Six of them, their parents weren't there. Six kids' parents weren't there because they worked Fortune 500 jobs and had to work. Those six kids thought that that was the coolest thing ever. Okay, shut up. No, he made a fool of himself. He made a fool of me. Okay, stop picking on me. No, I wish my dad would come to a game. I wish my dad knew I played soccer. Godly fathers are reliable, and they are consistent. There are so many children. There are some teenagers that walk into our youth room who don't know what a godly father looks like. There have been a few who don't know what a father looks like. And we must be reliable. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't tell your kid one thing and do another. Make time for your children. Set aside the goals at the office and make your children a priority. Be reliable. One of the other things my dad did very well, and I'm not doing this because someone said he might listen to this, but my father is and was a great father. My dad always told us as teenagers, I know that you're gonna go out and you're gonna do some things that I don't approve of and you're gonna sneak out, blah, 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 blah. If you ever find yourself in a situation you can't get yourself out of, you call me and I will pick you up. And we will not discuss it that night. But the next night, you know, go to your room, I'll see you. Anyway, no. But and reality is I don't remember a time that I ever had to do that, but there was a time where I was in a car accident. And person in front of me stopped, blah, 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 hit them. First person I called was my father. Within 90 seconds, my father was up there to make sure I was okay. My dad was reliable, and he was consistent. We have had some youth in our youth ministry here who don't have a father to call when they find themselves in some ugly places. And then I've had the blessing, I'm going to call it, on a few occasions to go 1, 2, 3 in the morning and pick up kids from parties, from drug houses, from clubs, from places they shouldn't be. Not because I wanted to, but because that's what a godly father it does. And they're not my kids, but I do consider these youth family. And so I share that with you because maybe you're sitting here and you're like, man, this is great, but I don't have kids yet. Dude, you can be the father to the fatherless. There are people in our church who are desperately seeking a relationship with a godly father, whether their father's gone or absent or just not that. They're looking for that. There are some men in this church who have been godly father figures to me. And I have a great dad, but he lives in China. And so there are some men who come to this church who have been there to hold me accountable, but also that have been reliable in times of need. And so I encourage you this morning to be godly fathers, to be men that are faithful, men that are accountable, men that are teachers, men that are the head of their household, men that are examples, and men that are reliable. Wives, I encourage you to hold your husbands to these standards, to hold them accountable for these things. Young ladies, one day you'll get married. Maybe you won't. That's okay. Riley, Ella, you don't have to get married. These are qualities to look for in a future husband. Young men, these are qualities to strive for. God has called us to be like Christ in everything we do and all that we say. And so this morning I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you. On Father's Day, strive to be that kind of father. To your kids, to your grandkids, to the kids that look up to you, to the kids that walk this youth group, this children's ministry, the kids that are going to walk in this door this week at VBS.